Lord, open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things from your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as Susan has mentioned, we are in this series exploring the Ten Commandments, but we're exploring them from how they work out in relationship with God and with one another. And seriously, if you want to check out on the state of your relationship with God, just check out how you're getting on with others, especially those whom you don't like. They may not be comfortable, but then who said it was ever going to be comfortable when it comes to dealing with stuff that we perhaps would prefer to avoid? And today we're talking about stealing. Now, the Bible has nothing against people having stuff. The Bible says that you should work for what you need. Some people think that work is a result of the fall, but that is not true. At the fall, work became hard and it was cursed. We read, "By the sweat of your brow you will eat your food." We actually need meaningful work for a healthy self-esteem. Now, we may not sometimes want to agree with that, but it's absolutely true. You meet with people who have lost their job because of unemployment, and very quickly, in fact, post-employment depression is an issue, is a real issue, and one that can take people into very disabilitating circumstances. So meaningful work is really important for healthy self-esteem. The Bible also says that we can invest our money and let it work for us. You can find that in Matthew 25. It's also true that we can gain possessions by inheritance. The Bible has examples of that. Another way for our needs to be met is through believing prayer. Jesus in John 16 once pointed out that we have not because we ask not. On the other side, taking what does not belong to you is theft. That's the obvious part of the commandment. But the Bible talks about stealing from our employers, including calling in sick when you aren't, or not giving an honest day's work. Employers can steal too by not paying proper wages or withholding pay. Read James 5. There's also stealing when we fail to care for our families. God has some hard things to say about those who won't care for their own. We can steal through gossip and slander because it's stealing a person's good name. We can steal by failing to speak of Jesus. In this case, we're stealing the opportunities for others to discover the welcome and yes of God. Now, we can also steal from God. How's that? Well, three ways. Firstly, money. We read in Malachi, "Should a person rob God? But you're robbing me." You ask, "How have we robbed you?" "You have robbed me in your offerings and the tenth of your crops. So a curse is on you because the whole nation has robbed me. Bring to the storehouse a full tenth of what you earn, so there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord all-powerful, and I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out all the blessings you need." The principle here is very clear. If we fail to give honestly to God, we are in effect robbing him and suffer the consequences. Now, another way in which we can rob God is our poor use of time. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians said, "Use every chance you have for doing good, because these are evil times." Or as the old translation says, "Redeem your time. Claim it back. Claim back your time doing good and things of value. Don't waste your life with poor time management." And thirdly, and quite crucially, I think, we can rob God by not being serious and accepting the truth about our gifts and abilities. Paul wrote to the Romans, "So brothers and sisters, since God has shown us great mercy, I beg you to offer your lives as a living sacrifice to him. Your offering must be only for God and pleasing to him, which is a spiritual way for you to worship. Do not change yourselves to be like the people of this world, but be changed within by a new way of thinking. Then you'll be able to decide what God wants for you, and you will know what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect. We all have different gifts, each of which came because of the grace of God gave us. Use your God-given gifts and abilities as his tens in love, service and worship. If we don't use our abilities and gifts, we are stealing. Jesus' parable of the talents powerfully illustrates this. Remember the third servant? But the man who had received one talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled the accounts with them. And when he came to the man who had buried the talent, he said, I was afraid and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here it is, what belongs to you. And the master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. You see, those who use their abilities are blessed and encouraged and welcomed. Those who don't will lose what they had and are driven from the king's presence. And there's a really serious warning here. And I've said it again and again, and sorry for however long you're going to have to put up with me, I will keep saying it. You are gifted. You are profoundly gifted because God made you that way. And we live in a society that denigrates anyone who puts their hand up in any sort of way and expresses their giftedness often. And that's sad because that means we run around bearing our gifts, not taking ownership of them. I don't mean running them around and wearing them like a flag, sort of say, what a jolly good boy or girl I am. But accepting the truth that you are gifted and exercising that gift in partnership with one another. It's the way God intended it to work. And if we bury our gifts away, we're actually denying the goodness of God for you. And the partnership that God has designed for you to have in concert with all others and their giftedness. So in effect, not only does it rob God, it robs yourself, and actually robs the partnership you can have with others. So how do we deal with the sin of dishonesty? Well, firstly, self-examination and repentance. A man passed a note to a bank teller demanding money, and the bank teller said, straighten your tie, stupid, you're on camera. God knows what we have done. We need to examine our hearts and agree with him. That is what confession is. The psalmist wrote, God, examine me and know my heart. Test me and know my nervous thoughts. Very interesting, isn't it? Nervous thoughts. You see, when we are anxious, and let's face it, if we behave dishonestly, we get anxious, don't we? Yeah, we do. Our nervous thoughts. I think that's a very profound moment there. I'm not talking about the nervousness you get because you've got to do something in front of people. I'm talking about the nervousness because we've done something we know we shouldn't. And know my nervous thoughts. And see if there is any bad thing in me. And lead me to the road of everlasting life. When we know what it is that separates us from God, others, ourselves and creation, we put ourselves in the best place to change our thinking and action to what God wants and renew our choice to follow Jesus. Third thing we need to do is restitution. Now we know the story of Zacchaeus, the little man that climbs the tree, thought he was hiding from Jesus, but Jesus spotted him and spoke to him. And he called him down and said, Zacchaeus, I want to go to your house today. You can read it for yourself in Luke 19. And what was the first thing that Zacchaeus said he would do? He would put things right with those he had wronged. We need to make restitution to those we have wronged through stealing. And thirdly, it's about getting our integrity sorted out, isn't it? Paul wrote to the Ephesians again, those who are stealing must stop stealing and start working. They should earn an honest living for themselves, and then they will have something to share with those who are poor. This simply means stop stealing, start working and start giving. Our greatest need, now listen to this, is not honesty, but to be restored into a correct and healthy relationship with God. Jesus came to Zacchaeus firstly and met his inner spiritual needs. The rest followed. He restored his relationship with God, was put right, and in response to that, all the other stuff came. You cannot be honest, upright and righteous without Jesus as your Lord. The question is, do you know him? Jesus died for you and for me. Have you accepted his sacrifice as payment for all that separates you from him, from others, from yourself and creation, for your sin, shame and guilt? And do you trust him? As Christians, we are to be a giving people. The essence of stealing is getting. If I'm a getter and not a giver, I am less than Christian. God is working to make us a giving people who focus not on what we get, but what we can give away. God is working to make us like a son who is the ultimate giver. Though he was rich for our sakes, Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians, he became poor so that through his poverty you might become rich. This giving is not only about money. It's also about giving our time, giving of ourselves, by investing ourselves in others. All this requires us to trust God. Paul wrote to the Philippians, my God will use his wonderful riches in Christ Jesus to give you everything that you need. Note the word need, not want. And in Proverbs we read, don't ever forget kindness and truth. Wear them like a necklace. Write them on your heart as if on a tablet. Then you'll be respected and will please both God and people. Trust the Lord with all your heart and don't depend on your own understanding. If we are takers getting stuff that is not ours, then we are not trusting God to provide for us. I don't have to take matters into my own hands and trust in myself. And the intriguing thing is, if we say, well, I'm going to do this and I'm going to trust in myself and what I do and not in God, God, being the perfect gentleman, says, well, I'll leave it to you. Go for it. And then we reap the consequences of that choice. We are to trust God in the one place that this trust will be tested above all else and most quickly is with our finances. Now, I'd like to conclude with a story. Whether it's true or not, I'm not sure, but it has the ring of truth to it. It's a story about two twin brothers who never married, and when their father died, they took over his store and happily ran it together. But one day, a man came in to make a small purchase and paid a dollar. The brother who had made the sale placed the dollar on top of the cash register, walked the customer to the door. When he returned, the dollar was gone. He said to his brother, did you take the dollar I left here? No, I didn't. Surely you took it. There was nobody else in the store. His brother became angry. I'm telling you, I did not take the dollar. From then on, mistrust and suspicion grew until finally they could not work together. They put a partition right through the middle of the building and made it into two stores. In anger, they refused to speak to each other for the next 20 years. One day, a stranger entered one of the two stores. Have you been in this business very long here? The stranger asked. Yeah, 30 or 40 years, was the answer. Good, continued the stranger. I very much need to tell you something. Some 20 years ago, I passed through this town. I was out of work and homeless. I had no money and had not eaten for many days. I came down the alley outside, and when I looked into your store, I saw a dollar on the cash register. I slipped in and took it. Recently, I became a Christian. I know now it was wrong to steal that dollar, and I've come to pay you back with interest and to beg your forgiveness. Can you just imagine for a moment what must have been happening to the store owner at that point? I wonder what your response would be. When the stranger had finished, the old storekeeper began to weep as he said, would you do me a favor? Would you please come next door and tell that story to my brother? With the second telling, the two brothers were reconciled with many hugs and apologies and tears. 20 years of hurt and broken relationships based not on fact, but on mistrust and misunderstanding. But then in healing came. Reconciliation came. Because of that stranger's love for Christ and with a desire to put even the small things right. Stealing can have deep consequences. Confession brings great release. Lord Jesus, we hear your heart for reconciliation. The longing of the Father's heart that we be reconciled to your God and to one another. And you have gifted us profoundly and deeply. And Lord, we want to be reconciled with you and with others. And where we have stolen in any way, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would work within us to bring us to that point where we can make restitution, where we can stand tall as the forgiven. So Lord, meet us in our need, and may our lives more fully reflect the glory and the wonder of your image in us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.